This is Han Solo, and you're listening to Octo Radio, a Star Wars podcast. I don't know. Fly casual. Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of Octo Radio, a Star Wars podcast. I, as always, am your host, Alden Diaz. If you are returning to the show, thank you so much for coming back. If this is your first time, thank you for checking out the show. I don't blame you if this is the very first time that you're joining us here on Octo Radio, because we have a great guest today, one of the best people in Star Wars fandom, author, writer, friend of the show, Kelly Knox, one of my favorite people. You might know her from StarWars.com. You might know her from her work on DC or Crunchyroll, of course, the author of Be More Obi-Wan, Star Wars Conversation Cards, and now Star Wars Dad Jokes. Full disclosure, this episode was recorded not a full month before release, but it's recorded a few weeks ago, and I'm recording this intro after the fact, as I've been doing lately with a few of the episodes, and it's, you know, not a break that I intended on taking. I apologize if anybody, you know, listened to the last three episodes and was like, oh, cool, the show's coming back, it's in full momentum and everything. And yeah, the show is back. I don't want to give the impression ever that the show is taking a break or a hiatus or anything like that. I would certainly say so if it was. It's just life right now. So, you know, we've got our weekly show that I do every week with Ken Knapsack on Fridays, Anytime with Ken and Alden, which has its own channel. Having a blast with that, and some of you are crossover listeners over there, and that's live, and it requires a lot of work and pre-production and things. And then, you know, we've all got our day jobs or different projects, and then, you know, the world is not great right now, to say the very least, and it's been hard to not be engaged with Star Wars fandom, because that's a lot like breathing. But it's, I mean, if you're like us, if you're here on this podcast feed, then it probably is for you too. But it's just been hard to make the time to edit, because people don't realize that I listen back to every single second of programming that has ever been released on Octo Radio. Every second I've listened back to, man, have at least given the once over in the editing process. Never for content. I'm never editing out what people say or what I say or anything like that, but ums and ahs and things outside of these intros, which I like to keep pretty loose, or the Mandalorian Diaries that I did for coverage on Mandalorian Season 3, I always just play it back, let it run, clean things here and there, tighten up spaces, tighten up people thinking, you know, spots where people need to think of their answer or whatever. I'll take some of that out, but also like to keep a certain flow. So it's a whole thing. I don't use an editor. I know some of our friends in this space have dedicated editors or dedicated producers, but outside of guest collaborators and frequent co-host type guests, I am the only team member. I made it that way. You know, it's my choice, but it requires a lot. So this podcast, you know, in the hour range is a few hours of work, and that's just, you know, it's hard to make that time on occasion. And I hate editing. That's the other thing. I do hate editing, but I'm glad to get these next episodes out as well. You're listening to this one. There are already two more that are already locked, loaded, and recorded, with more on the way, some interviews that are in the process of being scheduled. So excited about that. Thanks for sticking with me during everything that's been kind of turbulent in terms of the show. I'll talk about this a little bit as well in the outro, but of course, there's just a lot of tension in the air and a lot of pain in the air with everything happening in Gaza and everything that's happening here stateside at the universities of those trying to speak up about the atrocities and about the genocide. And in case it hasn't been said here on the record, I know we've said it on the live show on Fridays, but free Palestine, free Palestine, free Palestine. My heart's with them. It feels stupid and frivolous and self-centered to be doing shows like this, just talking about stuff that we love, when the world is the way that it is. But of course, you know, certain wheels need to keep turning in our lives, but we should just be keenly aware of everything as we go. And so I just wanted to take a second to say that, and that in the links below, and I think in the last couple episodes, but I haven't highlighted it verbally, and so I just wanted to make sure that that was clear, that way, you know, because, you know, I forget to scroll down, or people don't scroll down at all, or that's not, you know, they don't like to take the outlinks that podcasters post and things, you know, whatever, I get it. But there are links of places that you can donate and help, and hopefully learn as well to help people that you don't know, but that every child is our child, right? And that's something that is really important to me. And I hope it's really important to you. And this is a learning moment for everybody. And so just, you know, hold people in your hearts and hope for better days. But in terms of this show right now, in terms of what you clicked on, we're going to get into the main interview, which is just, it was a lovely time to listen back to it in terms of how it made me feel a little bit better, because Kelly is so wonderful, and because Star Wars is a thing that has always been a refuge from the way things are. It reflects our world, but it also allows us to be transported into another one on different levels of engagement. So everybody get ready for this wonderful interview with the author of Star Wars Dad Jokes, as we talk about not only the book, but comedy and Star Wars overall. It's our friend, you know her, you love her. It's Kelly Knox. Enjoy the interview. And now here we are with the main event of the show. The reason why you clicked on it, because you, unlike a lot of people online, are literate and you like books. And here we are with the author of such books as Be More Obi-Wan, such decks of cards as Conversation Cards, which is also a book, with her new release, one of her three releases just in the month of recording this, which is extremely impressive. I don't know when she sleeps. It is friend of the show, friend of mine, Kelly Knox, author of Star Wars Dad Jokes. Hello.
Hi, thanks for having me again.
Aw, thanks for being back. You and Daniel Jose Older are the two most returned guests, in which case that means, I guess, you either love press tours. No, no one loves press tours. but you guys are great friends and Star Wars people. And it's nice to be able to kick these things around and see people's different perspectives on it. And what immediately jumps out to people, when I got my copy of the book, I immediately sent you the one that hit me originally the most, which is the sound advice one from Ben Kenobi. So that was a lot of fun. There are so many in this book for people that aren't really familiar with it. It comes from Chronicle Books, and it really sets the tone right up top with a laugh it up fuzzball, which is sort of the tone that I also want to establish for this episode, because we're going to talk about the book, but we're going to talk also about our relationship with comedy in Star Wars, which is, I don't want to say controversial, although it has been, but it's definitely not a one-size-fits-all in that way. So in terms of the book, my first question for you is, as opposed to the other books you've written or your career in digital media writing articles, there is a level of intentional badness to some of this project. I mean, it says right here, the best worst jokes. Right. And so right there, it's like there's a social contract of cringe like you have with your dad. What is the writing approach like for you when you're like, I can't actually deliver in the same way because I need to muck it up like a dad would?
Right. Well, it's like there's this threshold of like bad to so bad it's good. I don't know what that actually is, but when you read something, you kind of know what it is. Mm-hmm. And so when I was working on the jokes, because almost all of these were written just for the book. Like I always get a feeling for when a joke is just a little too cringe. Mm. It's possible. And so a lot of these, with the help from Lucasfilm, were actually tweaked a little bit here and there, like the order of words or like the exact wording. And so I remember quite a few jokes in here went through like a few rounds of, now is it funny? Okay, now it's funny. Mm-hmm. But the nicest thing is that if I get a review on this that says these jokes are terrible, I can be like, yes, they are. Like, I won't have to take it personally.
It's not like with the other books where it's like, but that was so honest. And like, I meant that. There's a level of, I don't mean it here.
Yes. Which, like,
yeah, that's interesting. Now, in terms of it being specifically like, obviously dad jokes is a cultural thing, just like how dad rock is a cultural thing. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's, you know, especially with music, you hear dad rock sometimes and you're like, I just thought that was good. But where does that come from for you personally? Did you have parents that were jokey and cringe? Like, do you have a frame of reference for this? Is your husband that way? Like, do you have to slip into a certain person to find your way to the joke?
It actually started when my daughter was like in first grade, after she had just started learning how to read. I would put a little note in her lunchbox every day where I would write out a dad joke from like Google. I would Google dad jokes and then write it out and draw a little picture. They weren't Star Wars. They were just like, you know, regular kids jokes. And so I did that from like first to fourth or fifth grade, up until COVID for sure. So like, I already had a good mental Database, get it?
Oh, we got an exclusive, a database.
Database. So, like, I already had those in mind when I started, first tweeting horrible jokes. So,
Yeah.
nobody, like, and my parents didn't really tell me dad jokes. I've noticed that when I write like headlines and stuff that I tend to do puns a little too much. So, I think it was all me.
What's interesting too is that, like, not to like psychoanalyze you, although
Oh, it's fine.
you know me and I know you and you know how I am and I know who you are, so it's inevitable in that way. But like, I've met you in person and we've talked a bunch and in text and over voice, and you are not the person, like, I don't want to say type, but you're not like the, I guess, the archetype of person that is like trying to get their zingers in conversationally. You know that person where it's like you could tell they're half listening and they're just waiting for when they can throw in their thing.
Yes,
That's
yes.
not you. So do
I
you find that there's a tension between like people don't expect this from me and that makes it more fun?
don't know if there's that. I do know that I'm much quieter, of course, in person than I am like online. The only time I do tend to do that, like throw the zingers in, is when I'm playing like D&D or something. For some reason, I do like try to throw a joke in there. Don't know why, but I do have to fight those off. So I don't know if there's a tension between, like, I don't think of a joke and then try to hold it back, but yeah, I don't know where they come from.
It's interesting that you bring up D&D because my first thought was like, well, that's not you. That's
The
whichever,
character.
that's the character on the
Yeah.
sheet. So is author Kelly Knox a character on the sheet that you create to do projects? Is there a difference?
No, not really. I think because all my projects are nonfiction, I think it's just my writing style. I think I try to keep things light, intentionally. So maybe that's where they come from.
Yeah, and everything that you do, like even like your crafting and your work, like in the anime space, is so much based in like this is what I like and this is what interested me now and this is what I found to be comforting, and so that
Positive, yeah.
yeah, the through line is makes a lot of sense. So when you got this project, does this get pitched to you, or do you, was it an ongoing conversation of like maybe when there's more of them, or was it like okay, but we need all new ones, it can't be any of the Twitter ones? How does that go for curating?
This was an unusual, I mean, as books go, it was an unusual project because I had been tweeting jokes and, very nice people on the internet said this should be a book one day. And then eventually Lucasfilm said this should be a book one day. And they introduced me to the editor at Chronicle Books. And it doesn't usually work that way with these kinds of book licensed books. So I didn't really have to pitch, but I did send the spreadsheet of Twitter jokes that I had been saving because I kept spreadsheets. So I didn't repeat any because I'm a nerd and that's what I did. But that worked as my pitch. And he read through them all. I was a little embarrassed because they were formatted for Twitter, not really professional. But that was enough. He was in and we used a few of those, but the book is mostly 80, 90% new jokes.
That's really, really cool. And in terms of the actual composition, I know we talked about this a little bit with conversation cards, where when you have as much Star Wars as we have right now, with an increasing pace, anybody in the space that is writing something nonfiction, it's like we end up in this place of like, I gotta really, really push and push and push. And in terms of dates of things, when were you like, I have to cut it? It was it after maybe, Mando 3 or Obi-Wan? Like, when was it like, I can't be looking for more reference material?
Oh, I'm trying to remember the timing because I think I was working on the three books that are coming out this month. I think I was working on three of them at the same time. And so they kind of get mixed up. I think the bigger challenge was not going too obscure. Like I was dying to write about the captain in The Mandalorian, Gorian Shard, the seaweed looking guy.
The
Oh, I love that
greatest,
guy.
the
Yes.
greatest.
I wanted to write so many jokes about him, but it was just like too obscure. And so I think that was more of my like guiding line for what I was working on. I did manage to get Dr. Aphra in, and I've already had people say like, "Oh, I've never heard of that character before." So that was fun that I got her
Wow.
in.
With an
Yeah.
illustration, we should add,
Yes.
Johnny Sampson
Yes.
did some wonderful
Amazing.
illustrations in this. What's funny is that I don't know if it was that I'm just bad at paying attention to things or what, but I wasn't aware that there would be more illustrations beyond the cover until I opened it.
Oh. And
That's
good.
like I saw the cover illustration. I was like, ah, oh, that's so funny. Ha ha, Vader. And then I opened it and the first one I saw was Palpatine. And I was like, there are more of these? And then I saw Aphra and I was,
Great.
so that was such a great surprise. And he did such a great job with these.
I laughed so hard when, so I didn't see them until they were all done, and I just laughed so hard. I personally think they're funnier than the jokes, but
Well, you would think that because you're very modest, but the I
they're
mean, this one
amazing.
right here, I had it marked so I could get to it later. People won't see this, but like this Din and Grogu with Grogu on his feet, like it's so cute. It's just like legitimately cute art. Like you want these pieces of art to be canon because they just make
They're
you happy.
so good.
Wicked. Yeah. So all that stuff is super interesting and for the nonfiction side, because it's such a different, there's a different level of consideration than in the, not a different level, a different kind of consideration than in the fiction side, where, you know, much was made of, what's a huge example? Like, you like Wreck-It Ralph 2, when they were like, let's include all the Disney properties, Ralph Breaks the Internet. Like, there was, those directors talked about, well, you know, these new ones are still very new. So we were kindly asked to not do Kylo Ren jokes and things. And like, so it's nice to see, like, a book that maybe wouldn't be allowed maybe even 5, 6 years ago, of like we're more lax now. Like I think the comedy is very equalizing. You make fun of everything very, very across the board, which is nice
I
to see.
do. And it's never, I'm never mocking Star Wars or the characters. It's always like like I try to make it feel like they're in on the joke. Like it's not, I'm not making fun of it. And there's no jokes about like anybody who worked on any movies. Like it's all characters, it's all in fun. The whole thing about dad jokes is you can tell your kids they're wholesome, they're dumb. And so that was kind of the way I approached all the jokes in this one.
Now I noticed though there's no audiobook, Kelly, so I'm just curious, like when are you going to sit down and read the entire thing and
Oh, I
post
cannot deliver. I
it?
cannot.
You know, we should get like Mulaney to do this. Like that would be like,
Somebody needs
how
to
much
do
does he cost? Like yeah, I think that would be like peak going to work in the morning listening. But like you said, like I think it would be cool if parents picked up a copy of this book and copied some of them down onto sticky notes like you did and toss them to their Star Wars nerd kids, because that would be really, really fun. But in terms of the comedy overall of Star Wars, because, you know, the Conversation Cards Project, which it was the last time you were on the show, has a game aspect to it that we could do live. I don't want to just sit here and read these to the person that wrote them. That's a little bit different. So what I wanted to do when I asked you to come back on the show is talk about sort of the funny of Star Wars overall in a way that maybe you haven't and I haven't previously. People that have listened to this podcast for a long time, I had Joseph Scrimshaw on ages ago to talk about the comedy of Star Wars, because he is a comedian and a writer and studied comedy theory. And we revisited this after Thor: Love and Thunder, because that was such a big thing of like, is Taika Waititi not Star Wars funny? And you can go listen to that for my thoughts on it. Spoiler alert, I think he's fine. And I am fine with the entire idea of him doing one. But for you, you are not a comedian, first of
Not
all. You
at
are, well, I wouldn't shake your head and say not at all. You've
Not
made
at
me
all.
laugh before.
Oh, good. I'll take
I think I've
it.
called you before a pun crafter. You are in the sense of like you make things with your hands, but you also are like, here's bespoke comedy for a niche that get up daily delivered. You don't even have to subscribe. You could do like a whole like what do people call them? That newsletter that you can have one and I got not Muckrack, that's the journalist one.
Oh, Substack.
Substack, that's what it is. You could have a whole Substack for this, and you don't. You just post them and now sell them. But the thing about Star Wars comedy is that, like we said, it's not one size fits all, and many people have very strong opinions about what works and what doesn't. So, foundationally for you, what is Star Wars funny? And if you can remember it, what was the thing in those original movies that you thought was the funniest?
From the original movies, that's tough. I know from just over the years that C-3PO was not liked when A New Hope came out because he was the comic relief, and which is why George Lucas leaned into it, I think, even more for Empire Strikes Back, which I love that he did that. I know he did that again for Jar Jar, who was also the comic relief. I know that he didn't shy away from Jar Jar, like even though he wasn't in the other movies, he still supported the character and, you know, stands by it. So the original trilogy, I feel like, focused on 3PO. Han Solo was probably the other source of comic relief with the laugh it up fuzzball and the little snarky comments. So I do think comedy's part of Star Wars because, you know, it is for kids. It is positive overall. I think it never takes itself too seriously as much as we might treat it seriously. Star Wars is not precious with itself. We've learned that over the years with the Robot Chicken specials, Family Guy, like they do not, they allow the parodies, right? The Lego Star Wars, like they're all in. They've always been all in. And I was actually really happy to kind of join that tradition with the book.
True. That's such a sweet thing. That's such a nice way to put it. Join the tradition of, Seth Green, Seth MacFarlane, Kelly Knox.
Like, thanks.
When is your Adult Swim comedy coming out? Like, that's so true. Yeah, and you're right. Like, you said it doesn't take itself too seriously. There's actually a Taika Waititi quote that I love from the Mandalorian gallery, that first gallery, that the long one that was like 8 episodes, where he says, "This doesn't take itself 100% seriously, but it does believe in itself."
Yes.
And those are different things. And I think people think they're the same thing, and they're not.
No. And I think George knew exactly that, you know, if he wanted to appeal to kids, he would put in, you know, the laugh it up fuzzballs and the fart jokes in episode one. Like, I think he knew exactly what he was doing there. Like, he never took it too seriously, and he treated it like, I don't know, positive overall. I think what he said, like, for things like the Ewoks and stuff, he said, "Dare to be cute." And I think he dared to be funny, too, even though we still take it a little too seriously sometimes, Star Wars as a whole.
Yeah. And in terms of like the change, one thing that I've noticed, especially when you look at like the sequels and like a big, big, big one that caused a whole kerfuffle that I'm sure is still ongoing to this day in the worst corners of the internet, is the Poe joking at the beginning of Last Jedi when he needs. So do I. When he needs to stall. And so I'm curious. My take on that has always been, it doesn't bother me that that is a more modern joke, you know, Hux's mom and things like that. It doesn't bother me it's more modern joke because he's a more modern man. It's been 30 years in this world since Han was the guy, you know, when Han was the guy and Luke was the guy and Leia was there with, you know, you came here and that, like, you know, or, you know,
yes,
walking
and
carpet.
We're all fine here. Yeah.
Yeah. All of that is a generation in this world. And I would want my eras to have different jokes backwards as well. I think the High Republic comedy also has a different tone. It has a different, like, tangibility in terms of what they're joking about. Is almost like they joke in a way that fantasy characters joke sometimes because they are more fantasy. How do you feel about the changes and things that maybe are different now? Sometimes a little like self-referential, like Mandalorian has some of that, of like calling the Razor Crest like a Canto Bight slot machine and things like that.
You know, talking about 3PO earlier, I think my favorite 3PO is in Rise of Skywalker. The way they wrote him in that movie, I think, is the funniest. Like, the most I've laughed out loud at a Star Wars was Rise of Skywalker. Just the way he kind of, like, he was modern humor. Like, the whole, like, he's my best friend or whatever it is. He's my longest friend or something like that.
Yeah, Babu Frick. Yeah. Or like, the, you know, "You didn't ask, but I'm fine too."
Yeah, and then when they all turn to look at him, like, and then he turns around with them, like, I laugh so hard in that. So I think it's evolved well. But yeah, that's my favorite, I think, of all the comedies, 3PO and Rise of Skywalker, but it has always been part of it. I guess you asked me, like, what do I remember finding funny originally? And I think it was Han Solo's "We're all fine here now, how are you?" little bit, because it sounded so natural and just ridiculous. And I think that sets the tone pretty well for just all the trilogies comedy back then. But I think probably 3PO and Rise of Skywalker is like my peak, maybe because it's modern and I've gotten used to that brand of humor. But
yeah, I loved him too in that. And there was, you know, Ben Schwartz, who people will know from like Parks and Rec, and he's voicing Sonic right now, and he's done tons of stuff in comedy like Middle Ditch and Schwartz. He was on set and got to like polish a little bit of the 3PO stuff. And I think what people like him noticed and what we all noticed is that, especially in that movie, is that we got to look back at the entire history of 3PO and say, like, okay, what works and where would he be now? Because he's ageless. And he is not changing. And that's part of what's funny, I think, is like, that was his adventure, where in a certain way, he went from being like our annoying buddy to almost our annoying uncle. because Ray, Finn, and Poe are the kids. Like that was, I think, the dynamic change, just like how the dynamic with him being unchanging in like Clones. So much so that they dropped him into active combat. And that was, extremely controversial at the time too. The Die Jedi dogs or, all that stuff. But I was a kid for that movie, and I thought it was the 3PO body switch was the funniest thing I'd
He's
ever
got
seen.
puns. He uses a lot of puns in that scene, I remember.
Do you have a, like, you brought up one of the greatest, if not the greatest, of We're Fine Here, How Are You? And I think I've said this before, like, my proudest moment of my entire radio career was being able to say that organically on air. It just like Han was just made me so happy that people actually got that, because it's so iconic. But it's not iconic because it's like a written joke. It's just because it comes from Harrison, it comes from character. What jokes speak to you the most? Is it those, like, only that person could say it that way? Is it puns? People might assume that because of what you make, but might not be the case.
I think most of my favorite jokes, maybe not just in Star Wars, but in, all movies, are the ones that you can tell are kind of ad-libbed by the actor staying in character, but they're just so talented. And the example I always think of there is when K2 hits Cassian Andor in Rogue One. Obviously, Diego Luna was not expecting it, and they left in the fact that he's trying not to laugh. Like, I just adore that moment because I feel like Alan Tudyk was just like in character and trying to be funny, and it really works well. I think he's great in that movie, like 100% too. The way his humor is so different than 3PO because it's so snarky, but it works so well and it gives him so much personality. But yeah, I think that anything that's ad-libbed in Star Wars, I don't know, maybe, and there's probably maybe not that much of it, but moments like that are just as fun to me as in the same movie as Vader's dad joke where he says, "Don't choke on your aspirations." Classic dad joke.
Very controversial. That was another one.
I know.
I had somebody, it was actually Joseph, on that first comedy episode, explain to me in a scholarly way why he doesn't like the joke, and I got it. But at the same time, I'm like, nah. But I was a prequels kid. Like that felt like
It's a
Anakin to
dad joke.
me.
Yeah.
Felt like
Yeah.
Anakin to me, because Anakin is snarky. Like one of my snarky, but and a little self-deprecating. Like one of my favorite jokes in Star Wars is, again, one of those things that's not a joke. It's just a line. When Qui-Gon, not Qui-Gon, I wish Qui-Gon was still around during Clones. When Dooku is dueling, he duels everybody at the end. He duels all three of them. But after Obi-Wan is already taken out, and Anakin steps up, and Anakin says, "I am a slow learner." That line tickles me. Like the fact that he had a moment of self-awareness, finally, that he's a slow learner, despite, like, it's the irony of it being the chosen one to say it. I think a lot of these jokes are irony or using, I think, in some smart ways, our knowledge, I think, is part of it too. Like lines that aren't funny, but like, or that are funny, but acute funny. Like in Book of Boba Fett, Luke talking to Grogu and saying like that he knew a person like him, and that he spoke in riddles and things like that. Like that's like whimsy funny. Like it's really like adorable. So like, in terms of recent stuff, what has been sticking out for you, since we are in an era of TV right now? Like it felt like, oh, we're gonna do TV for a little bit, and then suddenly we're like, oh, it's 2024, and it is its own era at this point.
Yeah.
How has that sort of changed things, especially because they keep dropping actual comedians in these things?
Yeah, I mean, talk about ad-libbing. I don't know how much of Pelle Motto is actually
Oh my God,
written.
right?
Yeah. Because there's so much that she says about everything. I feel like she probably just came up with all of her lines except for maybe one or two, but she's fantastic. The Book of Boba Fett, the
That was
Major
a
Domo is,
major
yeah,
domo.
he's
Yeah, Dave
hilarious.
Pasquazi.
Yeah. I think when they put the comedians in, it's just the mood. That's Alan Tudyk again too, I guess. He's kind of loosely a comedian, but I think it just changes everything around them, and they turn such, like, Rogue One is such a serious downer movie that, like, it kind of pushes up those moments of humor. And The Mandalorian could also be very heavy at times, but then you have Pelle talk about Jawas being furry, fuzzy.
Having actually, canonically, at least according to her, slept with one. Like,
yeah. So like... the way they just elevate the humor elevates the series as a whole, or the movie as a whole, is something that I really love about Star Wars. Again, because it's not taking itself too seriously. It knows how to relieve that tension. It knows how to keep kids engaged. Like,
there's a tension with that where it's like, I think you and I, or at least we try to be. You definitely do a better job than I do of expressing what bothers us in a very chill way. Is there ever a time where a joke like lost you, and you're not like, how dare they, but like where maybe it wasn't? And I'll give you an example of sort of what I mean. Like, I love Solo, and in Solo I love Phoebe Waller-Bridge because I love her anyway. I think she is a genius writer, but in one of those sort of like probably an ad lib, and I guess brief 2-second content warning for any kids that might be listening, good luck finding it, like, is an obvious sexual joke for anyone over the high school age. Does that lose you because it's not within the overall intent, or are you fine with it because it's like if you miss it, you miss it?
I'm usually fine with it. I can't think of any joke or humor that took me out of in Star Wars specifically. So, but like you said, I tend not to be negative on that. Like, I don't look for things I don't like, so I can't think of anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, it's a good way to be. I mean, it's like, I wish everybody was, you know, focusing on the positive. And I think a lot of this stuff is, that's what sticks with us too. And when Star Wars loses this aspect entirely, it's always intentional, but it does stick with you in different ways. Like, I go to Revenge of the Sith, particularly the back half of the movie, and I go to Andor, and those feel extremely different because everything we're talking about is intentionally rolled back. Right. Andor is funny in a way of like, oh my god, I laughed, thank goodness. Like,
right.
Like a Dewey and Freedy, I think, are their names. The two guys,
yeah.
That give them a ride, yeah.
And there was the one guy in, like, the first episode, Vetch or whatever. He was funny. And then that was, like, those are the only moments in Andor that are funny.
Yeah, it's like, oh, boy, we are. And then, yeah, in Revenge of the Sith, like, after, like, Utapau, there is not a laugh in that movie. It is just relentless, but it needs to be. In terms of the prequel era, I think one thing that got added a lot, which is an aspect we haven't really talked about because so much of this is going to be dialogue, but the prequels add a lot of, and then Return of the Jedi did too, a lot of slapstick. It's a lot of like, you have to be watching the actual action of the character. What types of moments like that stick with you? If it's Jar Jar Binks, or if it's Ewoks, or I love everything that they've done with the Grogu puppet over time, of like the little things he's able to do, like a conversation between two adults is happening and he's like spinning the chair and like,
right. Slapstick, that's funny. 3PO again was the master at it, I feel like, in the original trilogy. I never minded Jar Jar. I've always liked him. I know that's not a common feeling, but I understood his reason for being there, and so I was, you know, in that when it came out, it was amazing to see a completely digital character, and I think I was really blown away by that at the time, that I never had an issue with Jar Jar, and I always kind of really like him. But yeah, I feel like 3PO was the comic relief, the slapstick relief, and that's why I like him, and he's a nervous wreck, which I also am, so I think 3PO's amazing as a character.
Do you have, this is something that I didn't even think to ask beforehand, but you know, your connection to 3PO being personal, you know, in that way, yeah, of like, is it anxiety, is it nervousness, like maybe feeling like, do you think that you have a 3PO function in group settings?
I don't talk as much as 3PO for sure, but I do the doom and gloom internally.
That's funny. And then in your Star Wars history, people that want to go back to episode 69, hey, That's Kelly's right. First episode on this show.
I remember that now.
And in that, we talked a lot about your history with this franchise and everything, and how you were on the Galaxy's team back then. You know, when players have their say, it's really only funny if they want it to be a lot of the time. But do you have memories of like realizing that Star Wars fans were funny, or that Star Wars gaming could also be funny?
It was always more being impressed by how creative they were, because in Galaxies you could do things like decorate your house, or, you know, hold an event and get the there was an event team that I only got to help out with once in a while, but they would request for the event team to come decorate their towns or whatever. And so I was always so impressed with the players' creativity. Like, I think they would do things like a comedy show or an entertainment show or make their house look like a museum, like all this stuff that I always was so impressed by. I wish I could remember more specifics than that, but I just know that the Galaxy's players are probably some of the most creative video game players I had ever seen.
Yeah, I think that I mean, the creativity of Star Wars fans overall has always been one of the best things, right? Like how quickly they're able to latch on to something like a lot of times it is comedy stuff. Something funny will happen, and then in an hour, it's a shirt, or it's a meme, it's a poster, it's a cosplay. Like that type of stuff is just so impressive to me, and like how we keep adding characters. And I mean, like we all do this. Like at the time of this recording, we just got like more Acolyte stuff from like Empire Magazine, and immediately one of my first thoughts was like, "Oh, Kel Naka's face is so funny." Like in the like he looks so done and so judgmental. Where does comedy fall in terms of your needs as like going forward? Like, yeah, are you looking for, like if it's like the Taika movie or something, like, are you like, I would love an outright whole comedy?
I don't know if I would go that far. I think with just in general with the Star Wars community and being online, my philosophy is there's so many terrible negative things in the world out there that I don't want to be one of them. And so that's why I try to embrace comedy or just, excuse my language, but shit posting. Like that's what I like to do online because that was the spirit of how the dad jokes started, right? Everything was terrible online and I didn't want to be one of the horrible things. And so I made it an effort to be, or at least attempt to be funny, at least attempt to distract. And it distracted me too, right? So that's kind of how I approach, Star Wars fandom in general, is to try to add some positivity to somebody's timeline. I would never presume to ask for something like that, like a comedy in Star Wars, but I do think we've been blessed with, we were talking before about Robot Chicken and Family Guy and Simpsons and all this. So we get, and Lego, we get the comedy in there too. So I'm pretty satisfied with that.
What is the best instance of Star Wars parody for you?
The Robot Chicken episode where Lobot comes out and starts dancing disco, I can watch that. That's tied with the first of all, I can watch that every day is what I was about to say. That's tied with the phone call that Palpatine gets about the Death Star being blown up.
Fantastic.
Like
It's
that
so
is
good.
peak. Like I still quote that sometimes just to myself. Like I always call him Papa Palpatine because that's how he answers the phone. Like it's just engraved on my brain.
It's
So
really good.
it's really good. If you've never seen it, if somebody's listening to this and they've never seen Palpatine from Robot Chicken, please go watch it. It's so good. And Lobot dancing to disco music is also very good. So those to me are the peak of like parody because they're not being mean the way they're making fun of it. You can tell that there's some a little bit of love behind that, the making fun of it, and that's why I like it so much.
That's the best, yeah, that's the best approach. And it's like, okay, what do we know about this guy's personality? Like in Palpatine's case, like he is controlling, he's an egomaniac, he is all of these things, he's narcissistic. And so what's the funny version about that? Oh, that he would probably answer the phone addressing himself
Himself
in
go
that
for
way.
Papa Palpatine.
Yeah, like that is comedy of character. And I think that's why the Lego stuff works. Like the Lego specials are entirely that for families. Like the game, the Skywalker Saga game has tons of good jokes in it and even visual jokes. I love the, if you play Lego Skywalker Saga, for anybody listening that hasn't, there isn't a lot of, because I think, and I get why there were people that were like, ah, do I need to play that one? Because I played Complete Saga. It is a lot of the value is in the comedy. A lot of the value is in the fact that it's different writers and they found completely different little things. And when you are Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan during the Duel of the Fates, the way it plays is that like you actually, because it's a two-player game and you have to beat him, it's like, okay, are we gonna take one player out part of the way through? Like, how do you approach that game design wise? And you do beat him, but then it's the torso of Maul is like and stabs Qui-Gon in the side, and I cackled. I couldn't, I was such a creative way to address that for game design of like, yeah, we'll let you beat him, and then when he's in half, he'll just kill Qui-Gon. It was so dumb, but great.
Yeah, that's the best comedy. Which is why I love dad jokes. They're dumb, but they're great.
Absolutely. And you know, there, I think, you know, we mentioned Palpatine and Maul. These are guys that are very unintentionally funny a lot of the times. When it comes to the unintentional, that was absolutely, we can all usually agree that's not supposed to be funny, but God, it's funny. What sticks out for you? And maybe it is a villain's question.
The thing that comes to mind is when the stormtrooper hits his head in A New Hope, but I don't know if that really, yeah. That's just a mistake.
Have you ever watched Jamie Stangroom's documentary about that?
No, I've heard of it, but haven't watched it.
It's great. It's fantastic. And it's like shockingly in depth.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's an entire film. It's called, for those of you who don't know, it's called The Empire Strikes Door. And he went, right? Right.
That's good.
I'll send you the link after. And that was an early episode of this show too. I talked to Jamie about it, and I mentioned people, for those of you that don't know, Jamie Stangroom has worked for StarWars.com. He's in the UK, and he's a radio guy as well, and world traveler, handsome as hell. Actually, screw that guy. He's got too many talents and too much going on. I love him. And his documentary is, can we find the actor that was the stormtrooper that hit the head? And it comes down to a whole investigation, three older British men that claim to be the guy. There's celebrity pundits that are like, have to cast their votes. He travels, he goes and does sit downs. Like, it's amazing. It's really, really cool.
Okay. That sounds cool.
So that's a big one. The original trilogy has quite a few of the, like, we are the lower to middle tier villains doing our jobs, and it's funny. And a lot of the times at their expense. Like, you know, I think, you know, Apology Accepted, of course, is one
that's
that we all
classic.
Go to.
Yeah.
That's gold. I think, you know, going into Rise of Skywalker, that is one of my favorite Ian McDiarmid performances. And, you know, there's something about, like, as once I fell, so falls the last Skywalker, is like, it's not funny. It's dramatic. But it's the fact that we know that this guy has been sitting on this grudge and is finally able to express it. That makes it kind of twistedly funny.
Right.
Like, oh, I was specifically thrown down a hole. I see a hole right there. Let's...
Yep. Guess what?
like that's great. That's really good. Chewbacca is someone we haven't mentioned who, you know, is also one of those, like, he's not cracking jokes because we're not supposed to understand his exact verbiage. But damn, if Peter Mayhew, rest his soul, and Jonas Suotamo don't, they can just cock their head and be funny sometimes.
He is the best laugh in Star Wars.
Yes.
Laugh. Yeah.
Yeah. It's adorable.
That stuff
is really, really good. Do you have a favorite nonverbal, I don't want to say comedian, but a nonverbal comedy character?
I swear R2-D2 is commenting with comedy and curse words every time he talks, and we'll just never know.
Yeah. God, he's funny. That's true. I'm trying to think of what my favorite R2 comedy moment is. I mean, the scream in Revenge of the Sith across the hall is a pretty good one on the invisible hand. I mean, even that's funny. George Lucas naming things to get his own frustrations out, like invisible hand or Newt Gunray. And like, that's funny to me.
That's good. That's good stuff. There's a line in Empire where he's talking to 3PO. And 3PO said something like, whose idea was it to turn up the temperature in Leia's room? Like, that whole little scene, I feel like, gets missed, is actually really funny too. Yeah, I feel like he and 3PO have conversations. We'll never know how funny they are.
Now, looping this back into the book, again, don't want to sit here and read stuff to you, because why would you want to hear it in my interpretation, in my readings? No one's paying me to do the audiobook, although call me, I would. We mentioned Chewie. Okay, I found it. I knew it was early on. So this illustration, which I will describe to everybody, is one of the
best
ones.
That's the one that killed me. Yeah, that one killed me.
And we mentioned Chewie, and I had to go here because it opens up, I think, an important aspect of this. It says, a Wookiee got a really bad haircut. He was infuriated. There you go. I read one. And it's Chewie. He's got the, what do they call that when you get a haircut? Is it a smock?
I think a smock, yeah.
A smock. He's got like a blue smock on. It's Chewie essentially with like Luke-esque hair, like 1970s hair. He's blonde and it's really, really cute. Who looks the funniest in Star Wars? Like,
is there somebody that
like, just like the second we see them, we're like, God, you're goofy, but in a good way.
My brain immediately said Pondo Baba because he's got a little Looks like he has a little butt on his face, right? That awkwardish.
Yeah, sorry,
I always thought he looked
awkwardish.
funny. Sorry, guy.
All awkwardish have butt face. You heard it
Butt
here.
face. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Who else is funny? Trying to think who I thought was funny as a kid, and I know that that guy was on my list. We have so many great cantina creatures and Ewoks, and I can't even think of who else. Just definitely him, Pondo Bob. Is that right? Am I saying his name right? I think it's
Ponda
Ponda.
Baba. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ponda Baba. What's interesting, but you bring up an alien, is that a lot of the times it is the design speaks to us for some way. Sometimes that way is because butts, but like
Because
also
butts.
because butts. I also think, like, you know how they say, like, the inherent cuteness of something by making it smaller, which is of course a huge thing in the world of anime, you know, a world that you know so much about, like chibi style and things like that. And when you it, there, I think there's also that's present in Star Wars. Like, we made a Wookiee smaller and his name's Gunji and he's cute. We made Yoda even smaller than he already
Even
was and now
smaller.
it's Grogu and he's cute. I honestly think that does also work comedically sometimes. And a great example is Rada. I think Rada the Hutt
Oh
is
gosh.
just inherently hilarious.
That
When I
is not
first
what I
saw
thought
him,
you were gonna say.
when I first saw him, I was like, he's a little slug.
Like a
Like,
little guy, yeah.
he's just a little round little st and then they start calling him Stinky. And it just, I mean, I'm a Clone Wars movie truther. I love that movie.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's tons of fun,
Oh,
but
I
that was
thought you were
huge.
going the Anzalens when they're like bad baby because
That
Grogu,
too.
because they're smaller than Grogu.
Yeah. The fact that Grogu had like his brief, and I think that's the comedy of that moment, is
Right.
that who does Grogu get to really hold or hug? No one. He can't.
He's still
He's
so
usually
good.
latched. God, yeah, that's really true. Very, very funny. And also, you know, talk about comedy. One of our legends that we've recently lost with Carl Weathers, things that he adds with his deliveries in that scene, especially of like leaning down, like it's like
Oh yes, the way he gets down there.
like things like that are so like little tiny actor choices that I love. Whether it's a character we're supposed to love, a character we're supposed to hate, a character who we're supposed to feel conflicted about, someone like a Kylo Ren, for example, is unfortunately, guys, very, very funny, especially in Force Awakens. And Adam Driver is a very severe, powerful, sort of broody performer a lot of the times. But I'll be damned if, you know, anything else, like if that's not hilarious. It just really is. That really took me aback in Force Awakens. And I think
Yes.
settled us. Talk about that a little bit of when Star Wars came back, how the funny kind of was like the, hey, you guys, we're fine. We're back. This is what you
Yeah,
remember.
I think some of my favorite parts. Somebody asked me once what my favorite part of Force Awakens was when it came out, and I was like, Finn is so funny when he asked Rey if she has a boyfriend. Like, I don't think they've ever said the word boyfriend in Star Wars
No.
before. And the way he asks her so naturally, and then Poe's scenes were all funny with the who talks first. That's immediate, like Han Solo came to mind. Like, I think that was the minute I was, and it's like the first 10 minutes of the movie when I was sold on Poe. He reminded me that Adam Driver's parody on Saturday Night Live is another great example of not taking
So
itself too
good.
seriously, but being so good.
Yeah. And based in so much of it, of the parody stuff that works is, again, that meta relationship with us. It's like you can tell the writers asked a question that we'd probably ask, which is, what do the grunts think about Kylo Ren?
Yeah, what kind
And
of boss
then,
is he really? Yeah.
yeah. And from that little seed of an idea came a sketch so good that it got a sequel. And that was good. And he was so down to play with it. I mean, I love even Adam Driver on his second or I think he's done it twice, two or three times. One of the later ones. Yeah, on SNL. He's sitting next to, you know, someone who's supposed to be a fan. And he's like tells him he'll give him an autographed Kylo action figure. And he's like, you look like a Star Wars fan. No offense. Like
Yeah.
just immediately into the camera. Like stuff like that. I like taking the piss a little bit out of almost how seriously we all take it, which I think is part of why things like Star Wars Celebration are important, because you get the running of the Wilrow hoods, or you get these moments of realizing like the cultural impact, like seeing Spaceballs cosplayers. And then of course that's why books like this matter, because it is sort of like it's an expression of love that you could only really get from a hardcore fan, but with the like levity and freedom of somebody that just found it and said, that's kind of silly. And in that balance is sort of why the book works. And that's not a question, it's just a compliment. So
Thank you.
that's
No, I wanted to. I mean, Since it is Star Wars dad jokes, obviously you probably need to have seen Star Wars to see it, but I really wanted it to be accessible for people who haven't seen every movie 100 times, you know. And so I worked really hard to try and keep that balance of it's you can get the joke without, you know, being a super fan, or if you are a super fan, you'll get an extra kick out of it. And that's a lot harder to do than say, but I tried.
Yeah, no, you absolutely succeeded. As Yoda has said, I don't know if people know this that listen to Star Wars podcast. He did say something about trying and doing. Now, in terms of this, let's rattle off some questions and then we'll start to wind down. Fun ways to look at this that maybe don't normally come up. Now, you worked with obviously your editors, you worked with an artist, but what if you had to actually work with Star Wars characters? Who do you think would actually be good for writing and coming up with this book? Who would actually have a good take? Is it someone like Peli, or is she maybe too chaotic to work on this
I mean,
book?
she's absolutely chaotic. I think it would be somebody closer to Han Solo. I feel like he gets most of the good jokes, but maybe Poe Dameron. I think he knows how to be funny, and like that scene in The Last Jedi with the prank call. Like, I feel like he actually has a really good sense of humor he gets to show off. I do think that maybe Anakin slash Darth Vader has a soft spot for puns, but probably not so fun to work with.
No, that's the thing, right? Like, it's you want who, like, the drama of him and his relationships with other people makes him so funny, and the sort of swashbuckliness that him and Kenobi both have. Yeah, we haven't mentioned Kenobi at all in
His
this.
humor's so different, yeah, because he's like the sassy kind of.
Yeah, it's I'm just taken aback because you and I touch on that character all the time, and you obviously wrote a whole book centered on this guy, and his humor is sort of one of the cornerstones of this, and is it especially impressive because Sir Alec Guinness, Ewan McGregor, and James Arnold Taylor, and Stephen Stanton have all had to stay in line with each other. I mean, Alec Guinness doesn't have to do work anymore because, you know, he's dead, but you don't have to do a lot of work when you're dead. I don't know if you knew that, but you end up with this, like, all the jokes need to, all the jokes that we do now with him have to logically become the jokes that the old man would make. And that's really fascinating. And that's why I think Attack of the Clones Obi-Wan is my favorite, because he has little moments of, like, you know, handcuffed, like, she seems to be on top of things. Like,
Yes.
it's perfect. It's perfect.
He gets one in the Phantom Menace with the negotiations being short, and I love the face that he makes there because I feel like
He's
that's
proud of
his kind of
himself.
brand of, yes, he's proud of himself. That's his brand of humor. He's showing it off. Yeah, his humor's different. It's a little more subtle and snarky, not really dark humor, but maybe more dry than I think everybody else. So yeah, his humor doesn't quite match up with, I think, a dad joke, but when he and Anakin get going on the quips, it's pretty good.
He would be good to, like, look over a project like this and like a good, like, senior, like,
He'd
editor
be
or
a good
something.
editor. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you know, we could talk about tons of characters, but there are also characters that I think aren't very jokey, but there's something funny about the way that they say things. And so I just wanted to shout out, for example, Lando Calrissian is somebody where it's like there isn't, like, a Lando joke. Because I think he takes himself too seriously to make fun of himself, nor is he really, like, a, like, zingers person. But that's the guy that I think you'd get to, like, read this is like that because it's the smoothness of it. It's the he's not aware of the fact that other people think it's hokey.
I can only think of one joke that I don't even know if he's joking or he's making the deal about the Falcon, and he says in Solo, and he says, "I don't like it. I don't agree with it, but what is it?
Oh, yeah, I
But
don't
I'll
like
do
it. I
it."
don't agree with it, but I respect it.
That was it. That was it. Like, I think that's the funniest thing he says, and I always like that part of Solo.
Yeah, it's like, but yeah, but, like, exactly, like, but I think he's dead serious.
Yeah,
I
exactly.
think he thinks life is like that you can just say the smooth thing, like, that it's a
Yep,
game,
I
you know,
agree.
like, you know, yo, Beckett, you killed Aurra Sing, like, I owed her a lot of money. Like, it's like, that's not how people talk. Like, that's what I would love about, like there was a very, I don't do rumors or anything, don't, no one please, like, reprint this or whatever, but, like, there was a report or rumor or something that, like, we would see an even younger Lando in the movie or whatever, and whether that's true or not, I don't know, but I would actually kind of love that, because that fascinates me of, like, what did you, like, what do you like him and truly in private? Because even when we see that for a second, he's recording his own adventures.
Yes. How did he get this way?
Yeah, like, who? Because it's not it's not a, from what we can gather, like a coping mechanism, like it might be for Han, because he says like that he loves his mother and that he had a good life and like all these things. And so it is interesting. It is interesting because so many times it is coping. Question. And then we'll do some rapid Q&A and close out.
Sure.
Who's not funny and maybe could afford to be a little bit more? Because my gut answer is Luke. I don't think Luke's very funny. He has one amazing moment in Last Jedi, which is the force. You must be really strong. Oh,
that was great. Yeah. We're both making the little grass.
We're both doing the leaf. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like people flicking their hands without the actual prop.
But I knew what you were saying.
Oh, wow. That's the force. Yeah, and that felt like Mark.
He's just so caught up in every, like, he's so reactive. I don't think he has time to really joke about the situations he's in. Poor Luke. And Leia, I don't think she gets to be outside of her interactions with Han. Like, she's just dealing with so much. I don't think she gets a lot of opportunities to be funny either.
Mm-hmm. Hera, similarly.
Mm-hmm.
Way too like much on her plate.
Yeah, and poor, yeah, those two definitely do. But I think, yeah, I think you're right about Luke. That is pretty much the only time. And then I think we get lucky with the time we get of Yoda being funny, because that guy is a troll and a half in Empire Strikes Back. But then most of the other times we don't get to see him.
No, and it's like when whimsy Yoda comes out, it feels like so like relieving almost to him, you know, because he's been on the job for centuries. It really does like start to feel like these are the moments where he gets to remind himself of maybe who he like would want to be. Because like even backing it up 230 years or 380, you know, but in phase two of the High Republic, he's already old. So it's like, I think an actual like Yoda year one story, like he's probably hilarious.
Can you imagine? Yeah.
like Yoda freshly knighted years before a council seat or anything like that. No gray hair. That guy is probably like a little like jokester, hobgoblin, trickster.
You feel like that, seeing him mess with Luke in Empire Strikes Back. Like, you feel like he's got a little bit of that to him, and we don't really get to see it outside of that scene.
No, and at the time of this recording, the book is not out yet. Living Force will be out.
I knew you were going to say that.
Oh, he has a line very early. This is not a plot spoiler, so light dialogue spoiler, where he says, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but he's like, you know, I've lived for many centuries and done many things, but I've never worn shoes. And it's like I just picture the other Jedi being like, the hell are you talking about? Like it's such a profound thing for him to say, but his terms are just like, look at me, man. I got little goblin feet. I don't even wear shoes to work.
Yeah, you don't.
Really, really fascinating. So, Kelly, you've been on before. So the Q&A, the questionnaire that I normally give no longer applies to you.
Okay.
Because it's usually new. So I'm going to, in the moment, because I didn't prepare this, modify them to be relevant to this conversation. The first question normally is, what is your favorite Star Wars word? But what is the funniest Star Wars word?
Funniest Star Wars word. There's some really good species names. I'm trying to think what I made a joke out of maybe in the Dad Jokes book, but I can't think of one. Funniest Star Wars. I guess it's kind of cheating to say, but I think Shriwook is pretty funny to say. But I don't know if that counts. Not really a word. Maybe Babu Frick, I would say, as a name is the funniest.
Babu Frick's a good choice. It does sound like, you know, like the phrase glup shitto became a phrase amongst us because it was making fun of the original post was like Star Wars fans when, you know, some character returns, oh, glup shitto's back. Like,
yeah.
Babu Frick sounds like that. Babu Frick does. It's like if you ask someone to come up with a Star Wars name in a funny way. Now, we touched on this a little bit. What sound or noise do you think is the funniest?
When the Jawa jumps out and shoots R2-D2 in A New Hope and he says, what attack? Something like that. I always like his little battle cry when he jumps out.
That's funny. Remind me to clip that out and put the
No, please right. don't. That was loud, but please don't.
What Star Wars curse word is the funniest of them?
I don't know why I thought of this the other day, but Moof Milker is hilarious to me. I don't know what context I was doing something and I was like, Moof Milker. And then I just kept going on with my day. But yeah, so that one I think is the best insult.
That's really good. I like that. What Star Wars profession do you think is inherently the funniest? Just the idea that somebody has to do it.
That's a tough one too. Maybe the Tusken Raider who has to brush the teeth of the Bantha. That doesn't seem like a great job.
Yeah, that's so true. I'm so glad we got to focus on that for even a second. Like that was just like a really human moment of like sometimes you
Oh.
gotta brush your dog's teeth, I guess. Like
Yeah, like somebody's got to take care of those things, so.
that's really, really true. Now, normally, we talk about, I always end with the question about the Dark Side Cave or Mortis or whatever, and like what you think you'd see. And that's really, really heady for what we're talking about. But I guess in terms of what would you like to see going forward in terms of the jokes of Star Wars that maybe we haven't seen?
Jokes of Star Wars that we haven't seen. Romantic comedy, I think. We kind of get
Mm.
taste of it with Han and Leia in Empire Strikes Back when they bicker and banter, and I kind of always really like those scenes. So I think maybe a movie or story focusing on that, because I really want to see Obi-Wan and Satine have their adventure together. Like that sort of vibe would be lovely, but that's purely selfish because I've always wanted to see that story that they've hinted at their year on Mandalore together with Qui-Gon. Obviously, knowing that those two like each other, I feel like there's a really fun story there.
Yeah, I really love that answer. That's really, really cool because it's even when we get it in doses, it's always amidst the relationship. Like part of the tension is like, can it work? Like, or it's falling apart, or it maybe it should fall apart. Like Elzar Mann and Avar Chris, like they have moments of like charming, like fantasy romance comedy, but it's more so the tension of Elzar bungling the situation. Like, I would love to see a like, we are already a couple, we're married, and we're funny. And like and we're on the ride. Maybe it's like a
We've never seen anything like that, yeah.
yeah, it just hasn't happened. Like, I guess the closest, but again, tragedy strikes is Hera and Kanan, where they are charming as mom and dad of the crew, but it's still a, if you look at the wider canon, she pulled him out of his depression and then they were at war. And like, so, but there is like, when we should get a Star Wars show where it's like, we need to hire some pilots. Oh, well, Mr. and Mrs. Such and Such have a ship and they're just funny.
I would love that because with the Jedi, even Obi-Wan and Satine, you know it can't work. And so it'd be nice to have a couple that we know has an actual shot
Yeah.
at being together.
The energy that I would love to capture for this is, which I might maybe could show up in like that Obi-Wan Satine story that everybody, including myself, would love to see slash read, is one of my favorites that I'm surprised hasn't come up at all in this episode, so I'm glad I remembered it. Is called a diplomatic solution. I call it aggressive negotiations. That is the template. That right there was like changed my brain chemistry as a 6-year-old. Like I was like, that's, is that like what having a girlfriend is? Like it just
This is flirting.
is this I want this. Like, yeah, that would love something like that, swashbuckling in the mix, but very, very in love. What the haters might call Marvel humor works for a reason. Like that's why it became an institution to talk about, was because we like it. That's something that's very universal. So this has been so much fun. As always, I'm sure we will run it back again as future books come out, which now would be a great time for you to tell everybody about your other two books for this year. I'm sure there are things you can't talk about. We'll get to them when we get to those, but in terms of what you can and then where they can find you.
Sure. So yeah, Star Wars Dad Jokes is already out. I have two books coming out, the Marvel Studios Character Encyclopedia Updated Edition. It's a long way to say all the Marvel characters in an encyclopedia for kids up through, I think it was right before Secret Invasion I stopped. And then the Return of the Jedi Visual Archive. It's behind the scenes. It's connections to wider Star Wars stories. So, tracing things like the Ewoks to the Ewok movie with Night Sisters, to the Night Sisters in Ahsoka. Like those kinds of lines are drawn out for people, for fans to look at. And then at the end of the year, I was part of the team that worked on the new Star Wars Encyclopedia. So hopefully we can talk about that in the coming months. So I think that's everything for this year.
Absolutely, absolutely. You said Marvel, right? You said the Marvel
Marvel,
as the,
yeah. Marvel movie character encyclopedia.
yeah, Marvel movie character encyclopedia. Because there's a Marvel encyclopedia that I guess is like an updated one, but maybe is comics. And then when I saw that that existed in the wild, I was just like, no, the Kelly book's not out yet. And then I was like, no, wait, I'm confused. Okay. So
No. Yeah, just MCU characters, yeah.
that's what it is. Yes. Which honestly should be on everybody's list if you love Marvel, because you are one of the people that you run deep on comic lore and things, and you're a big fan, and you had already tackled creatures and monsters and the arcane and everything
Yes.
with your previous book. I don't want to get the title wrong. Previous Marvel
Marvel
book that you
Monster.
did is Marvel
Yeah.
Monsters. Yeah.
Yes,
And
yes.
so that has comic book lore and all that stuff as well. That's where you can find out about people like Fing Fang Foom and
Yes.
other such great
Other fun names, yeah.
Other fun names that are inherently funny. But yeah, definitely look for all those. Find Kelly, and also,
On Twitter,
yeah,
yeah.
Twitter, which is what the website is called, regardless of what some people want to push. And then I don't know if you're on Blue Sky and all those other places as well.
Not so much. I mean, I'm there-ish. So you can find me on Instagram at Kelly Knox, I think. But yep, mostly Twitter still.
Sweet. And there we go. And Kelly, we will talk to you next time.
And I just wanted to say thanks again to the great Kelly Knox for joining me for this interview. You got to pick up Star Wars Dad Jokes. It really is a great treat. It would be great for the holidays. I know it's early to be thinking about the holidays, but honestly, just get it now. Put it away. And then wrap it when we get closer, because no one wants to be out there shopping. There's going to be new Star Wars stuff in the aisles and everything, but don't forget about these early in the year hits that will really make people laugh and smile, like Star Wars Dad Jokes. So a link to that is going to be below. Like I said in the intro, there are also links to contribute and help and donate and learn to support the innocent people in Gaza, in Palestine. I vehemently support the idea of a free Palestine, and I think that it's something that should be on all of our minds. It is the moral issue of the moment, so I just wanted to take a moment to highlight that. Please scroll down, do what you can, even if it's just spreading awareness. I've learned a lot throughout this process, and about the history, and about who to follow, and what journalists are there, and who's there, and who's speaking out, and what organizations we should look at. And that's the power of the internet, right? Is that you can take something that seems nebulous and make it more tangible as you pay attention to the great voices that are out there. So definitely take a moment to look at that stuff. Of course, as for me personally, feels always a little bit weird to plug yourself in a selfish way during a time like this, but it's the same, as it ever was. But if it's your first time, it's at that Alden Diaz, ThatAldenDiaz. And then, of course, Fridays, 11 Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, with Anytime with Ken and Alden, our Friday live morning style show. But of course, can be listened to anytime, which is kind of how we came up with the name. Funny that. But for right now, Octo Radio wise, a couple more episodes in the can. You can look forward to our massive Q&A special with Kessel Run Relay, Hayden, Liv, and M. Just had a joy recording that, and it is a monster to edit, so that's going to be coming soon. Also have a Qui-Gon and Jedi and religion-centered conversation coming up with our friends Andy and Jerry. Very excited for you all to hear that one, and some other interviews that are in the process of being booked. Very excited for what's to come down the road. But for right now, we are going to call it a day. Catch you next time.
Punch it, Chewie!